And the question we're looking at tonight is, can men be saved on their deathbeds? Can someone be saved just as they were dying? Sometimes critically people say, well, it's not true, it can't be right. If someone just, you know, says sorry at the end of their life after all they've done, and then go to heaven, that's not fair. Well, we're going to look at some answers to that question this evening. And the answer in your notes, the quick answer is yes, someone can be, but it's the exception, not the rule. It is the exception, not the rule. So why don't we pray and ask the Lord to bless our time as we look into these three points tonight. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your mercy and your grace, Lord, that is given to all. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, upon the cross to pay in his blood for the sins of the world. And Father, help us to be witnesses that speak in love and in truth also for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, first of all, tonight, let's look at the exception in the Bible. The exception in the Bible. Can someone be saved on their deathbeds? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. And let's look, first of all, at the exception in the Bible. Luke chapter 23, verses 39 to 43. Look with me at those verses there. And the Bible says, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. So, of course, famously, here we have the example of the thief on the cross. So, yes, someone can be saved just before they die. The Bible gives us an example here of a man who was dying, and the Lord Jesus Christ said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. But it's important to share with that person you're talking to what happened. Because the Bible tells us that he admitted he deserved the punishment that they were receiving. Notice verse 41. And we indeed justly, for we received the due reward for our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. So not only did he admit that he is guilty, he deserves the punishment that he is being crucified for, but Christ does not deserve that punishment. And so we see that when a person at the end of their life admits that they are a sinner, they are on the road to repentance. They're admitting their fault. They admit that they deserve God's judgment. They admit that they deserve the punishment for their sins. And not only that, he turned to Christ the Savior. Notice verse 42. And he said unto Jesus, man. Is that what he said? No, he said, Lord. Now, just understand how significant that is. In a Jewish context, here is a criminal calling someone who the religious hierarchy were fully persuaded was a false teacher, a false prophet, a heretic, blasphemy worthy of death. And he looks upon him dying and he says to him, Lord, remember thou me when thou comest into thy kingdom. What was he saying? Lord, you are God. That's what the word means. And he put his faith in Christ the Savior. He didn't need to pray a prayer of salvation. In his heart he already believed. And he said, Lord, remember thou me when thou comest into thy kingdom. So he believed that Jesus is the Lord, the Messiah he claimed to be. And he put his faith in him as personal Savior, as he called out to the Lord. And that's why the Lord Jesus said, truly, verily, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And it's a good opportunity to share with that person, you see, this man was about to die. But because he put his faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, and Christ's payment on the very cross right next to him for his sins, he was forgiven. Not when he died, but right there on the spot. He was forgiven. And you see, salvation is not about what we can do for God, but what God has done for us. So it's a good opportunity to share with that person. You see, the thief on the cross is a wonderful picture of God's grace and God's mercy. Look, none of us deserve God's forgiveness. There's nothing we can do to earn it. And you can share those verses, of course, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6, 3:23. And just share with them that we're all sinners. We all deserve God's judgment. He is a criminal. We are all criminals in God's eyes. But here's the wonderful news. We can all be forgiven. And this is an example of one who was forgiven on his deathbed, if you will. God doesn't save the great or the little sinner. No one deserves to be saved. And yes, it is possible for someone to be forgiven at the end of their life. But you can share with them, out of all the souls saved in the Bible, this is the only example of someone who was saved at the point of their death. Someone who received Christ just before they died. And that is a sobering reality, isn't it? You see, the thief on the cross, that's why your first blank is the word exception, is the exception, not the rule. Yes, people can be saved before their death, but there are other factors involved, as we will see tonight. So here are some more thoughts to share. We've seen the exception in the Bible. Notice the warning in the Bible. The warning in the Bible. That's your next blank. You see, the Bible warns us that we don't know what the future holds. Isn't that right? The Bible warns us, and you put this in your own words as you speak to that one, that we don't have a promise of tomorrow. We only have the promise of today. The Bible warns us in trusting against tomorrow, against trusting in tomorrow. It says, now is the day of salvation, 2 Corinthians 6:2. The Bible says, ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. God says that it's foolish to wait till the end of your life because you may not get an opportunity to call out to the Lord to save you. You may not have an opportunity for a deathbed repentance. Why? Because we don't know how we're going to die. Now, the thief had some time, at least a few minutes. And Christ was right next to him. You and I may not have that opportunity. You may not be in the hospital dying. You may die suddenly. Isn't that true? You can tell them. Well, I guess that's possible. Yes, it is. It is possible. And you might like to share an example from your experience. What really got my attention when I was lost was a person's death, a young person's death, at the crossing that I crossed every day to go to work. There was a bunch of flowers tied to the signpost with a letter from their parents saying, if anyone saw the hit and run accident, please call this number. This is where our daughter died. And words to that effect. And I was so, so shocked because that girl didn't see it coming. And that's the crossing I cross every day to go to work. And here I am living it up in the world, not realizing that that day could be my last. It could have been me. And I began to think about my eternal destiny. And the reality is people do die suddenly. Young people die suddenly. Old people die suddenly. Of every age, people die suddenly. There is a warning in the Bible not to wait until it's too late. So that's the warning. Now, the Bible tells us again another example of the rich fool in Luke chapter 12. In Luke chapter 12, verse 16, the Bible tells us of a rich man whose ground brought forth plentifully. He had so many crops. He had so many possessions. This man was a man in the world's eyes that had it made. And in his eyes, he had it made too. He said, wow, I've got so many crops and goods. I need to build bigger barns to contain them all. And that's exactly what he did. He built a bigger empire. He made more money and he filled up his barns. And then he said, well, I can retire for the rest of my life. I can eat, drink and be merry. The ultimate retirement plan. He was, as the world says, He was financially, what's the word? He had financial freedom. Isn't that right?
Yeah, that's right.
That means to not worry about money anymore. That's what Tony Robbins says. Buy my books, buy my CDs, listen to my audio books, come to my seminars. This world financial guru, and you can be financially free if you're hungry enough. So in the world's eyes, this rich man was a complete success. But in God's eyes, he was an absolute fool. Because that night God said, your soul shall be required of thee. And in an instant, the rich man didn't get to live it up. He didn't get to eat, drink and be merry. He died. And he lost it all. He did not have the opportunity for a deathbed salvation. You see, there is a warning in the Bible. Don't wait until it's too late. Here's a good verse to show someone who's putting salvation off. Isaiah 55:6. The Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. What does that assume, that verse? That there is a time that God will not be near. There is a time that God will not be found of you. Not because he's hiding, but because of the last point that we'll see today. The rule in the Bible. The rule in the Bible is this. If we wait and reject the opportunity for salvation, then our heart grows hard. So you see, there is an exception. There is a warning, but then there is a rule. And this is the norm. This is the norm. Hebrews 4:7. The Bible says, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. You see, the Bible warns us about the hardening of the heart. A rejection of truth leads to a hardening of the heart. If you hear the gospel, friend, if you reject what you're hearing right now and you say no, what takes place in your heart, the Bible says, is a hardening. You can't just stay neutral. You can't just say, maybe I'll believe one day. You see, rejecting the truth is a choice to say no. There is no middle ground. Either you believe and are saved, or you reject and your heart gets harder. And over time, the hardening process continues. The Lord spoke about the hardness of hearts, didn't he, in Mark chapter 3 and verse 5. And when he looked around about on them, that is the religious Jews, with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, the Lord healed a crippled man on the Sabbath, did a wonderful miracle, set this man free from torturous physical bondage. And the Jews were angry with Jesus Christ for healing a man on the Sabbath day. He broke the Sabbath law by doing something, a work on the day. And see, these religious Jews had been delivered, provided, given graciously the truth by God over generations. They had been given the word of God. Christ declared the gospel to them, and they continually rejected it. And why was Christ grieved? Because of the hardness of their hearts. The hardness of their hearts. The word hardness describes something covered with a callus. A callus is a hardened part of skin, like on your feet. If you walk barefoot a lot, what happens? The skin gets thicker. It gets harder. And if the skin gets harder, it can form calluses. What does that mean? A thickening takes place. So that's what the Bible describes takes place in our heart. If you, my friend, reject the gospel, your heart's going to get harder. And sooner than later, you'll hear it again, but nothing will go in. And your heart will grow harder, and it'll grow hardest to the place where you won't hear the voice of the Lord anymore. And a calloused heart won't call upon the Lord. And the older people get, the harder their hearts become. Church family, we need to understand that the sinful nature is absolutely wretched. You know, we would assume, wouldn't we, that the older a person gets, the softer they'll become because their body is breaking down and they're closer to death. Isn't that what we would assume? But how many of you have experienced the opposite is true? The older someone gets, the harder their heart becomes. Why? Because of the longer they reject the gospel, the harder that calloused heart grows. Now, that doesn't mean someone in their old age can't be saved. My dad was saved first in our family. He was over 60. And I won't tell you how old my mum was. But it's rare to find someone who becomes a new believer in the old age. Most people are saved in their youth because their hearts are softer. They haven't rejected the gospel that much yet. We need to reach our young people, amen? But we need to reach everyone. But the reality is, someone's heart is hardened over time. I've only had a few deathbed opportunities to witness, and I've been absolutely amazed at the diabolical hardness of the sinful nature. That because over a lifetime, understand this, a person is convinced that Jesus Christ is not the Savior. If they repent right there and then, what are they admitting? That for their whole entire life, they were wrong. So if someone repents on their deathbed, that is the exception, not the rule. That is the exception. And we pray that God will give more exceptions as we witness to loved ones and family. But as you speak to that person, you can tell them some of these things. The older you become, the harder your heart becomes. So if you think you can wait to the point of death to call upon Christ, then you're foolish and you're gambling with your soul. Today is the day of salvation. Can I share more of the gospel with you? Can we come back and visit you? Amen. Tell them the truth. Be loving enough to tell them the truth. So when someone asks that question, perhaps some of these thoughts will be a help as we seek to give an answer to every man that asketh of the reason of the hope that is in us, with meekness and with fear.